Let's get started. We're going to start from the bottom of Chav Ches Amad Beis, from five lines from the bottom. So the Mishnah said, V'lama hutzrichu l'chach. The Mishnah was discussing the idea that there was one time an incident where the Kohanim accidentally offered the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar way before morning. It was the middle of the night. They got confused because they saw the moonlight and they thought that it was daytime. So the Gemara asks, Umi Michlaf, is it even possible to confuse moonlight with sunlight? V'hasanya, Rebbe Omer, Eino Domet Timur Shel Levana L'Simur Shel Chama, Timur Shel Levana Misamer V'Ola Kemakel, Timur Shel Chama Mavtzia L'chan U'l'chan. The Gemara says that just physically speaking, the sunlight and moonlight look very different. Moonlight goes in a straight line, a straight beam, whereas sunlight diffuses all over the place. So how is it even possible to confuse sunlight and moonlight? So the Gemara says, Tana Devei Rav Yishmael, Yom HaMe'unan Haya, U'matzia L'chan U'l'chan. The Gemara says it was a cloudy day, and as we'll see in a second, clouds also have the same effect as the sunlight in that it causes the light to diffuse. And that's what the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, Shma Mina Yom HaDe'eva Kulei Shimsha. A cloudy day is the equivalent of a fully sunny day. In other words, it has the same properties, the same effects as the sun, in that it causes the light to diffuse. Fine. Then the Gemara says, L'mayin afkamina, who cares that a cloudy day is like a sunny day? Why does that matter? So the Gemara says, either l'shatuche oros, one ramification is if a person wants to dry out their hide. They're making leather, they're tanning leather, so when you hang the skins out on a sunny day, it's going to cause it to tan, and also on a cloudy day, because again, as we just said, a cloudy day is the same property as sunny days. Inami l'chidedarash rava, isha another possible halachic ramification is in terms of a woman not needing dough when it's cloudy outside for Pesach. The Gemara tells us that just as, in other words, a woman needing dough either literally in the sunlight or in some form of heat is problematic for dough that you want to use for matzah because it can cause it to rise very quickly. So the Gemara says the same would be true when it comes to a cloudy day because the sun can kind of peek through the cracks of the cloud and can cause the dough to rise a lot faster. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Zuama deshimsha kashe mishimsha, v'simaneich dana dechala. The Gemara says that the hazy, parts of the sun that kind of get, you know, that come through the clouds is actually more harmful than the sun itself. The Gemara gives you a mnemonic device of a jar of vinegar, the cover of a jar of vinegar, because when a jar of vinegar is sealed tightly so the smell doesn't come out of the jar, when you open it even a crack, so then the smell starts to get very, very overwhelming. So the Gemara says the same is true here, that you have these little small rays of sun that are peeking through the clouds, they can actually be more harmful than the sun itself. And the Gemara says similarly, Shavri dazzling sunlight is also more harmful to, let's say, to one's eyes than the sun itself. And the Gemara gives a mnemonic device as well of drips of water. In other words, if a person has a little, you know, drop of water, you know, if there's a constant drip of water falling on a person, they find that much more annoying than if a whole thing of water just came over them at one shot. Then the Gemara says, "Hirhure avera kashu me avera v'simanech recha devisra." Thoughts of an avera are more harmful than the avera itself. And the Gemara says that a mnemonic device is the smell of meat. In other words, sometimes the smell of meat is sometimes more appetizing than the actual meat itself. Then the Gemara says, Shilhi dekaita kashya mikaita v'simaneich tanura shagira. The Gemara says the end of the summer is more harmful or is hotter than the middle of the summer because the earth has been heated so much from the sun over the last few months. And the Gemara says a mnemonic device for that is a heated oven. In other words, an oven, if it's been heated multiple times, is much hotter after multiple uses. Then the Gemara says, Ishta one who gets a fever in the winter time, the fever is much more intense than one during the summer, because in order for a person to get a fever when it's cold, the fever has to meet a much higher bar. The Gemara gives a mnemonic device of a cold oven. In order to get a cold oven hot, you need a really intense amount of heat. And then finally, the Gemara says, Migmar ba'atikta kashya micharata v'simanech tina bartina. The Gemara says that if for a person to relearn something old that they've forgotten is much harder than to learn something new, as the Gemara gives a final mnemonic device of mortar. In other words, mortar, which has already been dried out, is much harder to break apart and to make it reusable, whereas new mortar, new cement, is much easier to work with. Fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avahu, my time of the Rebbe, Dichsev l'amanatzech al ayala sashachar, ma ayala zo karneha mavtzilos l'chan u'l'chan, av shachar zeh mavtzil l'chan u'l'chan. The Gemara says, why are we assuming that sunlight, as we saw earlier in the Gemara, diffuses, as opposed to moonlight, which is in a straight line? The Gemara cites a pasuk from Tehillim that says "Lamenatzeach al Ayelas Hashachar," that there was a song written for the Ayelas Hashachar, and Ayala is like a gazelle. So the Gemara says, why? What's the comparison between a gazelle in the morning? So a gazelle's horns basically branch out into multiple directions. So too, the sunlight diffuses into multiple directions. Amar Abzera, Lama Nimshala Esther La Ayala, Lomar Lecha Ma Ayala Racha Matzar V'Chaviva Al Baila Kol Shav V'Shav Kishar Rishona. Af Esther Haisa Chaviva Al Achashverosh Kol Shav V'Shav Kishar Rishona. Why is it this parak of Tehillim, parak Chav Beis, is actually associated with Esther, as the Gemara Megillah points out? So what's the connection between Esther and a gazelle? The Gemara says, just as a gazelle has a very narrow womb, and for the male gazelle, it's considered to be, when they have relations each time, it's considered as if it was the first time. So too, Esther was endeared to Achashverosh every time they had relations, as if it was their first time. Amar Abasi, Lama Nimshala Esther Lashachar, Lomar Lecha Mashachar Sov Kol Alayla, Af Esther Sov Kol Nisim. Also a very famous Gemara, why is Esther compared to the morning? Just as the morning is the end of the night, so too Esther was the final of all the miracles. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ha Ika Chanukah, what about Chanukah historically happened much later than Purim did? The Gemara says, no, Nidna Lichdov Kamrina. The Gemara meant that Purim was the final of one of the miracles to be canonized and written down as part of Tanakh. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalaman damar Esther nina lichtov, ela laman damar Esther lo nina lichtov ma'ika lemeimar." That's all well and good if you hold like the opinion of Megillah Dav Zion that Megillah Esther was actually meant to be canonized as part of Tanakh and therefore has the same degree of kedusha as any other book of Tanakh. But if you dispute that, if you think that Megillah Esther does not have the same degree of kedusha, which again is a whole discussion in Megillah Dav Zion whether that should be true, if you don't believe that it was ever meant to be written down in the first place, so then how do you explain the comparison between Esther and the Ayala and to Esther in the morning? So the Gemara says, "Mokim lo kirabi ben yamin bar yafes, amar rabbi Elazar." Amar rabbi ben yamin bar yafes, amar rabbi Elazar. Lama nimshalu tilas and shel tzadikim kayeles. Lomar lecha ma ayala zo kol zman shemigadeles karneha matzilos. Av tzadikim kol zman shemar ben betfila tilas anishmas. The Gemara says, just as when the gazelle gets older, the horns start to sprout out and start to branch out even more, so too, the more that tzaddikim daven, the more they increase their tefillah, the more likely it is that their tefillah is going to be answered. So the Gemara's point here is that this idea, this drush, has nothing really to do with Esther per se, it's just a general idea regarding the tefillos of tzaddikim. Okay. Then we saw in the Mishnah said, shachatu es atamid. We saw, again, this was the case in the Mishnah where there was confusion about what time of day it was, and they accidentally shechted the Tamid Shel Shachar in the middle of the night. So the Gemara wants to know, Emas, when exactly did this mistaken incident take place? Ilema b'shar yamos hashana lo sagi delav kohen gadol? Ela b'yom ha-kipurim me'or ha-levana mi'ika? The Gemara says, if you're going to tell me this incident just happened on a regular weekday, the problem is that the Mishnah seems to assume that after this happened, they brought the Kohen Gadol to the mikvah, to the Beis HaTevilah. But the question is, on a regular weekday, you don't need the Kohen Gadol to be the one to shech the Karmen Tamid, right? And any Kohen could do it. And if the incident happened on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, then we have like almost like an astronomical or an astrological problem, which is that on Yom Kippur, the light of the moon is not going to rise before the light of the sun. You know, this is a very technical idea in terms of, you know, different parts of the month when the moon rises in relation to the sun. But apparently on Yom Kippur, once you're already, you know, 10 days into the month, so there's no way that the moonlight is going to rise before the sun, which leads to the question, how could there ever be confusion about whether you were seeing moonlight or sunlight, if that's the case? So the Gemara says, no, hachi ka'amar, ufiyoma kipurim ki amar barak birkai horidu kohen gadol levesa tzidila. The Gemara says that this incident did in fact happen on Yom Kippur, but when they said, when the Kohen saw that it was getting light out, they would bring the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaTevilah. In other words, the incident really fundamentally occurred on a weekday when it was possible for the moon to rise before the sun. The only thing is that as the Chazal almost made a gezeira, and they said that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen would go out and look at the sky, and when the sky got light, they would make an announcement, and then they would take the Kohen Gadol down to the mikvah, and then they would get him ready to go do the avodah of Yom Kippur. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Tani avua de Rabbi Yavin, lozo bilvad amru, ela af malika saofu kamitzas mincha balayla tisarif. The Gemara says, not only is a carbon tamid shel shachar that shechted in the middle of the night invalid, but the same would be true if, let's say, for example, one did malika on a bird, right? Malika means when the Kohen takes his fingernail and severs the back of the bird's neck in certain types of bird karbanos. Or the kamitza, he scoops the flour for the carbon mincha. If those are done at night, they also have to be burned. So the Gemara explains, bishlama ola saof maida hava hava. Ella kometz nihadra v'nihadra v'nikmatza biyamama. The Gemara says, I understand why if malika was done, let's say on a carbon ola, on a bird carbon ola, why at night, why it's invalid. Because once you did malika, the bird's dead. You can't rectify that. It's too late. But the question is, what about when it comes to scooping out the kamitza of a carbon mincha in the middle of the night, why can't you just put it back in the kli and then just do it again in the morning? What's the issue with that? So the Gemara says, no, hutani la v'hu amar la, kli sharis mekadshin afilu shalo bizmano. The Gemara says, we can derive from here that a kli sharis, right, in other words, a kli that has kedusha to use in the context of the mikdash, those kalim will be mekadesh, will sanctify their contents, even not in the proper time. So in other words, if you put the flour, if you scoop out flour from a carbon mincha and put it in a kli sharis in the middle of the night, when you're not supposed to do it, it doesn't matter. The halacha is that the flour now has kedusha, and there's no way to rectify it. Now that it has kedusha, and you put it in the wrong time, you're going to have to burn the flour. So the Gemara now asks, Meisve zehaklal kol hakare bayom kadosh bayom kol hakare balayla kadosh balayla v'kol hakare bein bayom uvein balayla kadosh bein bayom uvein balayla katani miyas kol hakare bayom kadosh bayom bayom in balayla lo. The Gemara quotes three general principles here, which is anything which is offered by day has kedusha by day, anything offered by night has kedusha by night, anything which can be offered both by day and by night has kedusha both by day and by night. But again, what do we derive from these principles? We see from here that something which is offered by day as kedusha by day means that it does not have kedusha by night, which is another way of saying that if I scooped out flour from the carbon mincha in the middle of the night, it should not have kedusha, because the carbon mincha is something which is only supposed to be offered by day. How can our Gemara say that when I scoop out the flour in the middle of the night of the carbon and I put it in the kli, that it has kedusha and it disqualifies the carbon and now I have to burn it, if the Gemara just told us that something that's offered by day has to be offered by day, and if it's offered by night, it doesn't work? So the Gemara says, no, Dilma, you know, kadushli karev, aval kadushli pasel. Maybe all the Gemara meant to say was that it doesn't have kedusha insofar as offering it as a carbon. In other words, if you scoop out the flour in the middle of the night, then yes, then that flour is invalid to offer as a carbon. But on the other hand, it has enough kedusha to disqualify the flour, and that would now require you to burn the flour as part of a pasul karban mincha. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Masiv Rabbi Zeira, So the Gemara now references a Mishnah in Menachos. Mishnah in Menachos says the following. So we know that in general, the lechem apanim, as well as the bazichin, the spoonfuls of frankincense that accompany the lechem apanim, were supposed to be arranged on Shabbos. In other words, you take the lechem apanim off the shulchan on Shabbos, you put a new set on Shabbos, and then the following Shabbos, you do the same thing. You take off the old one and put on the new one. Let's say for whatever reason, the Kohanim didn't do that, and instead they put the new lechem upon him on Sunday. So now the question becomes, 6 days later when Shabbos rolls around, what are they supposed to do with the lechem upon him and the bazich and the frankincense that's only been sitting on the shulchan for 6 days instead of seven? The Gemara says, and let's say the Kohanim went ahead and offered the frankincense, but again, the problem was that it was only on the shulchan for 6 days. The Gemara says that it's possible, and that is an invalid offering of the bazich. So what are you supposed to do now? Ketzad yasem? Yanichenu l'Shabbos haba. The Gemara says what you should basically do is let the lechem apanim and the bazichin stay on the table for an additional week. In other words, let it stay for a total of 13 days. Wait till the Shabbos after that, and then you can offer it, because if it's on for too long, the Gemara says, it doesn't make a difference. It's not an issue. The Gemara says, what do you mean, va'amai?
But won't you have the new lechem apanim there, and you have double the amount?
Obviously everything's gonna be backlogged by a week. So now you're gonna just.
So then forever you're off the day.
Either that, or you just don't make the lechem apanim for 1 week, potentially. According to what we're suggesting, you just leave it over for an additional week, and then you catch up the next week. That's what the Gemara sounds like. That's what the Gemara sounds like. But again, the problem is.
I
wouldn't call it no sir, but the Gemara has almost a similar type of a question here. The Gemara asks, "Va'amai tikto shesi pasel?" The Gemara says, not really a no sir issue, but the Gemara says, why don't we say that when that first Shabbos rolls around 6 days later, it's going to disqualify everything? In other words, it's going to give it kedusha, and then everything's going to be disqualified. Why are we saying, oh, just leave it for another week, leave it for 13 days later, and then take it off? Why isn't everything disqualifying? So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rava, man de kamosif shapir kamosif. The Gemara says that's in fact a good question. However, va'avua de Rabbi Yovin nami masnisa ka'amar. However, the truth is that Rabbi Yovin's father, who was the shita that said that you should leave it over for 13 days, is basing his opinion on a different brisa. The kasavar laila ein mechusar zman. Yom Mechusar Zman, the Gemara makes the following distinction, that the only time that we say that something can be disqualified when it's put on the wrong time, it has to at least be within the ballpark of the time frame. So in other words, for example, let's say you're supposed to offer a Karban Mincha, let's say, this morning. But so instead, by mistake, you scooped out the flour 5 hours ago in the middle of last night. Okay, so that's close enough to the time frame where we say that it's going to be puzzled because it's so close to the time frame. But let's say you scooped out the flour 3 weeks ago to use it for today, so that's totally unrelated. So the Gemara says the same thing is true here too. When you have the lechem upon him that you're taking for days, weeks in advance, that's too far away to even disqualify because it's just not within the time frame. It's not within the ballpark. But something which is close enough, which is just the night before, it's just a couple of hours off, that's already enough to disqualify it. So the Gemara says, but the problem is, kimbati be shimshe tiktosh asifsol. If that's true, so then, in other words, by the time Shabbos morning rolls around, that any bread that's left on the shulchan should automatically be disqualified because that's the proper time. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'm a Ravina shakad mesilka. Ravina says, you're right. The case was where the Kohanim pulled the lechem upon him off the shulchan before alos hashachar. So if they pulled it off at 3 o'clock in the morning when it's still the middle of the night, so then that's fine. So then it's never going to reach the stage where it's going to become disqualified. That's one possibility. Mar zutra v'itema rav ashi amar no afilu tema b'shalokad mesilka kevan shesidru shaloke mitzvaso nasa kemosh shesidru akof. The Gemara has an alternate possibility that even if you didn't pull the lechem upon him off of the shulchan, it's still not going to disqualify. Why not? Because when the lechem upon him was originally arranged on the shulchan, it was done so not in the proper time frame. The Gemara compares it as if a monkey put the lechem upon him on the shulchan, right? If, in other words, if the lechem upon him magically appeared on the shulchan, if a monkey put it there, if a non-kohen put it down on the shulchan, it's also going to disqualify it. So in other words, putting it down 5 hours early is the same issue as having a monkey put the lechem upon him down on the shulchan, and therefore the Gemara says even if you left the lechem upon him beyond the proper time into Shabbos morning, it's still not going to disqualify it because putting the lechem upon him down 5 hours early is also considered not in the proper time frame, and therefore it's not going to disqualify. Okay, then we said zeha klal haya b'mikdash. The Mishnah made a distinction between a kohen who had to go defecate. If a kohen has to defecate in the middle during the avoda, he has to go to the mikveh afterwards. If he only had to urinate, so then he requires kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. He simply has to wash his hands and feet from the kiyur. So the Gemara explains, bishlam raglayim yishamitzotos ela yadayim aytayim. I understand why the kohen has to wash his feet after urinating because there may be drops of urine on his feet. Why does he have to wash his hands though? So amar Rabbi Abba zosu meres mitzvah l'shavshe. If you see from here that there's a mitzvah for the kohen, or really in general, after a person urinates, to scrub and to wipe any droplets of urine off with your hand. The Gemara says, "Misayel lel Rabbi Ami." The Amar Rabbi Ami, "Asher lo Adam sheyatzah benitzotzul shal gabe raglav mipnei shenira kikroshavcha umotzi laz al banav shehin mamzerim." The Gemara quotes a famous idea that a person is not allowed to walk outside with droplets of urine on their feet because people are going to get the mistaken impression that he's what's called a kroshavcha. Kroshavcha is a person whose penis was severed, and the Gemara says that such a person is not permitted to marry a regular Jewish woman. People are going to think that his kids are mamzerim. They're going to think this guy is not able to physically produce children, and that this woman slept around and had children from somebody else. So the Gemara says that's why you have to be careful to wipe the urine off of your feet, and therefore the Kohanim also have to wash their hands, because again, the assumption is that they were brushing any droplets of urine off. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, Amar of Papa, Tsoa b'mekoma usur likros kriyishma. If one has feces that's still inside of their body, still inside of the anus, so one is not permitted to recite Shema. So the Gemara says, Hei chidami, what's the case here? Ida nireis pshita, ida lo nireis, lo nitna toro lemalachei asheris. If the feces is visible, then of course you're not allowed to say Shema. Why is that any different than feces that's on skin? If the feces is not visible, so then like what do you want from the guy, right? The Torah was not given to Malach, and we can't be expected to, you know, to look for every last piece of a feces to make sure that everything is gone. So the Gemara says, you're right. Lo tzricha du yoshev v'nireis, omeid ve'ena nireis. The case is where the feces is only visible when you're sitting down, but it's not visible when you're standing up. The chiddush is that even in that case, one is not permitted to say Shema. So the Gemara says, okay, but umayishna mitzoa al besar. How is that any different than a person who has feces on their skin? De itmar tsoa al besaro o shahayu yada bevesakise. Ravuna amar mutter likros kriyashma v'ravchista amar aser likros kriyashma. The Gemara has a general machlokas in Maseches Brachos regarding a person who has feces either on their skin or a person whose hand is inside of a bathroom. Ravuna says you could still say Shema in those cases, but according to Ravchista, you're not allowed to. How is our case where there is, you know, feces that's in your body, but you can't really see, you can only see it in certain cases, how is it any different than this case? So the Gemara says no. Bimkoma nafish zua Tama, Shalobim Koma Lo Nafish Zuama. The Gemara assumes that feces in your body is much more disgusting than a piece of feces, like a dry piece of feces that's just on your skin. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Halacha Besuda, Adam Yotze Lahashtin Mayim, Notel Yado Achas Venichnas. Let's say a guy in the middle of a meal had to go urinate. So after he urinates, all he has to do is wash one hand and then he can come back into the meal and continue eating. However, Diberim Chaveru Vehiflig, Notel Shte Yadav Venichnas. If the guy, you know, basically took a long break to go schmooze with somebody for a while, then he has to wash both of his hands before he comes back in, because the assumption is that he wasn't paying attention to the cleanliness of his hands. Uchshehu notel lo yito mi bachutz yikanes b'nei chashad ala nichnas v'yoshev b'mekomo v'notel shteyadav u'machzer hatafiach ala orchid. However, the guy who just had a long conversation should not wash his hands outside and then come back in, because people might suspect him of not washing his hands, but rather he should come back into the meal, he should very publicly wash his hands with a jug of water, and then pass the jug around and ask if anyone needs to wash their hands. Also, in this way, everyone sees that he washed his hands. Amar of Chistalo, Amar Elo Lishtos, Avalecho, Notel Mibachutz, Nichnas, Demeyde Yade Da Anina Daite. Then the Gemara qualifies this. That's only true for a person who had a long conversation and now wants to come back and drink something. So there, not everyone is going to wash their hands before they drink, because again, you don't have to touch the liquid directly. But let's say a guy comes back in after a long discussion and now wants to sit down and eat something. Everyone knows that he washed his hands, because it's not normal. In other words, people are very, very finicky, very hygienic about not eating with unclean hands, and therefore you don't have to wash your hands publicly. Everyone knows that you washed your hands outside. And the Gemara says further, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, va'ana afilu lishtos nami made yadi da'anina daiti. And for Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he was so hygienic, so careful about his hygiene, that even for drinking, he would wash his hands outside, because everyone knew that he was very into his hygiene, and people knew that he would wash his hands, therefore he did not need to wash it publicly.